Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn. And you are listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. My second guest today has a very complex and difficult job deciding how to spend your tax dollars in Coburg. I want to welcome Deputy Mayor Suzanne Séguin to the show. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Rob. Always a pleasure.
Thank you. Now, the town budget went up 4% over last year, but with the increase in assessment, it appears that the average person will have their tax bill go up by about 2%. How do you justify that to the taxpayers?
Well, actually, we found a few more savings. I had asked all departments to come in with 2% before growth, and I knew it had been a good year, and I was hoping that the growth would be around 2%, so that would pretty much net out at zero. But as it was, it came in at 4%, and we've now whittled that down to 3.6%. So the average, with the 2% growth, we're now looking at a 1.6% levy. And that's just for the town.
Now, has it been? It's been passed. It's been approved, or do we still have another step in the process?
Well, the budget itself will actually be officially approved on the 8th of April.
So you're still working on it, or is that in fact happening?
No, it's pretty much done. We had our full day budget deliberations on the 14th of March, hoping that it would be finalized for the 18th council meeting. But there were 26 pages of edits. We have a very active council group, and my colleagues wanted things like affordable housing, and they wanted certain things. It's a different budget than this town has ever seen, and we really took out the red pen and did what we could to make sure that it was the best budget we could bring in.
So what part of the budget do you feel good about?
I feel good about the fact that the whole process was open and people could come to all of our meetings, and we ran them all as a committee of the whole, excuse me, so that we have the open forum. And on the 14th, every member of public that wanted to come in could ask questions, and we basically listened and answered those questions throughout the day. It was a 10-hour session. I feel really good that for the first time in a long time, people came forward with what they really wanted to be included in the budget. And, you know, not everybody gets everything, obviously. But most of what we had, we tried to do the best we could for community grants. We had $80,000 of asks. We had a $45,000 budget. We put in $250,000 in affordable housing. And we basically held off on anything to do with the waterfront until there was a full public meeting. So that was a good feeling for me.
What was the greatest challenge, though?
The greatest challenge is looking at 400 pages of numbers and talking to the people and trying to get most of the people to understand. Now, you've got to remember, this is just the town of Coburg's budget, and as everyone knows, they also get a budget from the counties and the education component. So the trick is to try and get as much value for the money that taxpayers. It's hard money that people pay every year. And with what we're coming through there, the difference, it'll be another $4 on the average tax bill. Now, that's before any increased assessment on properties, which also has to be factored in. But we just look at the levy or the mill rate.
Now, every budget chief is different. What was distinct about your approach to the budget?
I come from a different, I guess common sense would be most of what people, I mean, people stop me on the street and they say, you're asking the hard questions. And that's what I do. And I don't take status quo. I really am focused on the best value for the money that people have. I know how hard it is for some seniors. I know how hard it is for some young people. And I've been there. I've been a single mom. I've struggled to eat. I've struggled to pay the bills. But then you have to look at what a town has to provide, the roads, the sewers, they have to provide certain legislation that we are totally beyond our control. So we really have to, it has to be a good mix.
So what message did you send to town staff then when you first sat down to talk to them about the budget?
Well, I basically said to them, this is not going to be take last year's budget and add 2% or 5% or whatever. I said, take a look at what you've And I asked specifically in the budget sheets to have a full 2017 line item. So we knew that that year would have been completely audited. And then I wanted the budget from 2018 and the year-to-date for 2018. So we knew what the trending were. In other words, you know, we basically looked at line by line and we said, okay, you haven't spent that in 2 years. Tell me why. Explain to us. Give us a reason that that's still in your budget. And then we had the 2019 budget. So we had comparators, and there's never really been that actual component. It's been budget to budget, and I wanted to change that.
I thought, though, when we usually see a budget, and particularly in the last couple of years, we've seen that kind of arcing of several years in planning and strategic planning, both before and after.
Most of it has been, you know, budget to budget. There has been some component of the actual, because at this point, we haven't had the audit done. So there's adjustments like any big, you know, budget. So it's a year to date, so it's not an actual.
So who did you speak to outside of politicians and civil servants and the standard public meetings? How did you communicate to anybody? Did you talk to people? Did people approach you? How did that work in terms of getting input from outside of the normal channels that we see?
Well, I get an awful lot of emails. And, of course, we started with the budget process. It was a two-month. It was a little later, obviously, because of the election. We want to get started in September this year. And we started with an open budget meeting where anyone could come forward with their ideas, with their presentations, and that was fully open.
Give us some examples of these emails then, the people contacting you directly. What did they say?
Well, a lot of people, affordable housing was huge this year, and you know, it's the first time it's ever been a line item in the Coburg budget because it's always been upper tier, the counties that have handled it, but all of us that campaigned this year, we heard it on every door. We heard it, I'm a senior, my taxes are going up, I can't afford any more. And then we also heard young people, I have nowhere to live. And a senior that has worked, you know, minimum wage their whole lives. So we heard that for the first time. So we said we have to do something about it. So Nicole Beatty basically brought forward a motion to add $250,000. And you don't know how hard it is to cover that in a budget like this because you had to go through, like, we took money a little bit from the CIP, the Community Improvement Plan. We took a few dollars from the Economic Development Officer that is now retired. So we're going to revisit that whole job description. And we sort of looked at where can we get this money.
Because you did raise this on the council floor during the debates. I mean, you said, you know, if we're going to do this, this is fine, but it's got to come from somewhere else.
It's got to come from somewhere else. And that was my opening statement on the 14th of March. And I said, okay, we're sitting at 2% right now. My preference would be go down a little bit. But then, you know, everyone, this is our first deliberation. So everyone got together and said, well, I want this and I want this. And you know, we hadn't given everyone what they wanted for community grants because we were asked $80,000. We had 45.
But couldn't you just, I mean, what would that have meant? $250,000 over this entire budget in terms of a percentage to the average payer? I mean, we're talking $4. If we had paid five, wouldn't that have made the difference? I mean,
well, it probably would have, but I really believe strongly in living within your means. I really do. And I think, you know, we have to make sure that the core essential services of the town are covered. We have to make sure the water is safe, the roads are safe. We have to be so factoring all that in. You know, we look at, okay, does Public Works do two roads this year or do they do one? And we look at all the criteria so that we can make it, so we can add that 250 in there.
But I mean, I know these are the philosophic debates that you go through, but I mean, for some $1 or $2 to make the difference, for example, to have affordable housing in our community, to have the things that we want. And I mean, obviously, affordable housing, if you're hearing it on every doorstep and people are emailing you directly and saying, this is a really important issue, why wouldn't everybody give a little, like, you know,
well,
50 cents or a buck to make it happen?
Because it's not just the Coburg tax bill. It's the county's tax bill. It's the education tax bill. And then there's the assessment. Every home has a four-year phased-in assessment. That is a factor as well. So we could come in at 0%. And it still wouldn't be a 0% increase. So we have to factor all of that in.
Warren McCarthy of the Cobourg Taxpayers Association wrote a letter to council regarding the Cobourg Police Service budget, and he raised a number of concerns around the budget increase. Did you address those concerns?
I didn't personally. Warren sent that to the Police Services Board, and they have apparently discussed it. I haven't seen the results of that discussion, because the Police Services Board are an entity of themselves, and they did present their budget to us. And they kept it within 1.4. So we were, you know, they've given back $5 million over the last few years in capital expenses. So you have to look at the big picture. It's not just cherry picking certain issues. You have to look at how much the police have done and how much they've actually given back. And that eventually will probably come back to council as to what the police services did discuss Warren's issues. But I haven't been privy to that yet.
Did the Taxpayer Association give any other input to you?
Well, Brian Lambert was there for several of the meetings, and I have a lot of respect for the guy. You know, he comes up with some really interesting things, and I think Lydia was still down south, but Warren was there. There was a few, and of course, Paul Paniello was there. They did ask specific questions, and we did answer to the best of our ability.
Can you give some examples of that, just because maybe not everybody's watched the council meetings or followed this really closely? Can you give some of the examples of what they've asked for and how you've implemented it?
Well, we haven't implemented anything yet.
Okay, but what have you considered? Sorry.
But like Brian is really knowledgeable about finances, and he would be looking at percentages of a certain budget and why it is that. And he'd ask questions like, why is it that we're spending money on this road, or why are we spending money on this particular item? And, you know, I don't have the actual questions in front of me, but he did ask some really good questions. He'd usually ask about three within his 2 minutes that he was allotted. Mm-hmm. And I would say to him, you know, knock yourself out, Brian. You got 2 minutes. And the whole day was full of, you know, that kind of banter. So you... mutual respect, and I think Ian Davies did a fabulous job, as his department did, because, you know, we're not planners, we're not accountants, and so we really depend on the finance department to come up with the equations, and certainly when Brian asks questions, they're very specific to finance questions. And Ian would be right on top of all of those, and he could answer those questions.
Can you, outside of the Taxpayers Association, can you give examples of public input that you've taken and integrated into the budget?
Well, we had everything from Petra Harwick, who wanted some water stations for, you know, refillable water bottles. We wanted one individual that wanted a free garbage tag every year. That, unfortunately, did not get done. But it's really back to the grassroots of what people ask sometimes. They don't look at the big, you know, the overall picture, the capital expenses. They really want basically small things for themselves. And we try to do little bits. Like, for example, the community grants are a perfect example of the groups here in Cobourg and the arts groups, the heritage groups, and... it was tough not to give them everything they asked for, because these are all volunteer-driven. But we did the best we could, and Santa Claus Parade is a perfect example.
I was going to ask you about that, because, I mean, that's a tough one. I mean, you're talking about taking money away from Santa.
I know, and the reindeer.
Yes.
And we looked at it, and they asked for $10,000. I mean, $10,000 out of a $45,000 budget is a lot of money, right? So we looked at it, and Adam Bureau, he's the Arts, Culture, and Tourism Coordinator, so he put forward all these motions, and he put forward $3,000. So, and that netted us out to $44,000. We had $1,000 to play with. And then the mayor said, well, this is the Santa Claus Parade. We need an extra two in there for sure. So, okay, we'll have to find that extra $1,000. So he put two in, and then Aaron Burkhat came back in. Well, I want another five in there. So all of a sudden, we're right back up to $10,000. And we had to juggle a few things to get that.
I know that the industrial park generates a great deal of revenue, and that sits in reserves. Why isn't there a community reserve fund that comes out of those funds that could allow us to do more? Because, I mean, the orchestra came before you, the art gallery comes before you. So many groups struggle to raise monies in this community. why isn't there some mechanism like that to help these groups? Because they do look to the town
well,
for help.
Well, they do. And actually, we did use Northern Reserves and HOCO Reserves in this budget. For example, the art gallery, they basically asked for $250,000. And
$250,000.
They are now becoming more part of the town as opposed to asking for a community grant every year, which historically they did. Mm-hmm. And we netted it out to it would have been a $90,000 increase over what they got last year. So we split that in two, gave them 45 this year and 45 next year. And they made a really solid business case for keeping the gallery open. And the other art musical groups, you know, if they asked for six, we gave them two. We asked for five, we gave them, you know, 1,500. We tried to give everybody a little bit of something.
Okay. Often the CCC is mentioned in budget deliberations because some people feel that it's become very expensive to operate. How did you handle it this year?
Well, we clearly asked for... to keep their net, their deficit to the town under $1 million. It was apparently built, this is before my time, it was apparently built to operate at about an $850,000 deficit. And, you know, the energy costs apparently are about $500 of that.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping it cool in the summer, keeping it, you know, the ink, the rink. So we looked at it and we said, we want to make sure that it's not just the CCC, but it's the whole community services budget. And we did do some cutting there. And I think they came in at about, they're under $1,900,000 and change. Mm-hmm. But we're monitoring that very clearly. The big problem is a lot of the seniors, they pay $25 a year to join, and then they take courses for $1. So we said, is there any chance that you could bump that up to $2? You know, for a course. Mm-hmm. And, well, the seniors will go nuts, right? So there's two sides to every, it's not just numbers. It's basically service delivery. And we've looked at that CCC budget very carefully. And it's, you know, I'd like it to come in at 700 deficit or break even would be great. But I don't anticipate that's ever going to happen.
I know counselor salaries were something that were considered. And I know that there was debate with the last council about salaries. Some pretty big increases. Where are you on this?
Well, Paul Pagniello, that was one of his presentations during the full-day budget deliberations. He says, you guys aren't being paid enough. And my stand on this, we ran, I mean, no one does this for a salary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we basically ran on what the salary was, and I wouldn't really vote on another. I don't believe any sitting council should give themselves a raise. And it made a big increase in general government. And thank you very much. But we don't ever, none of us do this for the salary.
You mentioned very quickly earlier the harbor. And
yes.
The fact that nothing's going forward without some public meetings. But still, the East Pier is in very, very bad shape. And it seems to me that when we have the debate about the harbor, we always get caught up in, you know, docks or canoes or sailboats. And the East Pier keeps getting lost in this debate because we're getting all agitated about a bunch mm-hmm. of other stuff. Right now it's the lift. Everybody's going crazy
yeah.
about the lift. Why can't we just separate the East Pier as a budget item, spend the money, and get it fixed?
Well, we have actually, Rob.
Okay.
The engineering report is in.
Yes.
I've read it several times. There are four options for the East Pier. The least expensive option is $800,000, and that basically takes about half a meter of the existing surface up. You have to get rid of that somewhere. It's very expensive to get rid of that because it's, you know, maybe contaminated. And the most expensive version, people like to drive out there with their coffees. In order for the pier to be safe enough for people to drive up, the stability, because there's been settling over yeah. the years. It's 180 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So the ideal thing would be to build a brand new pier. But, of course, nobody can afford to do that. In order to build, to take a meter and a half off the top and rebuild that so that it's stable, it's secure, so people can drive their cars again, $3.9 million. And You know, the entire waterfront plan had 26 million of projects in 24 years. And I know, as the new budget chief, how hard it is to find half a million and do something with it. So we are getting some money from the province, and hopefully we've applied for some money from the feds. And if we get $1 million there, my preference, put it on the pier. And I doubt that we'll ever be able to drive on there again, because we can't afford $4 million to put into that pier. There's just no return on investment. There's no jobs created. It's a tough call.
But the East Pier will get dealt with eventually.
Oh, absolutely. Number one project. And we had some engineering dollars in there. But when the boat lift came up, you mentioned that. Mm-hmm. And the expansion of the West Harbor did not come up in this budget. But we basically said we have to have the public meeting that we never had at the conclusion of the waterfront plan. So all the components, the East mm-hmm. Pier, the lift, will now come forward as a public meeting.
Why do we need to debate, though? I guess that's my point. Is why do we need to debate the pier? The pier seems to be... Why isn't it just something separate? Why do we keep coming back and mixing it up with all these emotionally charged issues?
Well, I don't think we do. I think the pier has a standalone project. And certainly, everybody needs engineering drawings today, you know? And it's, you know, that can add up to lots of thousands of dollars. The pier, in my view, is the number one project for the waterfront. Nothing in, you know, and I will fight really hard on that.
Okay.
That will get done before any boat lift, any expansion, anything. And that has to be clear. But we also have to find the funds to do it.
Okay. There was a mention of a $30,000 piece of equipment for the Memorial Arena that was deferred. It appears that there will be a debate over the future of this historic arena. What do you see happening there?
Well, again, that'll be a council decision. Both arenas, the Jack Heenan and the Memorial, pretty much have, they're 35, 40 years old. Mm-hmm. Their arenas don't last forever, and ice surfaces and the plants to make that ice don't last forever. And I think we're looking at huge, huge dollars to continue those as operating rinks. So, again, I know that the West Northumberland Curling Club runs out of the Jack Heenan. So that has to be a full debate by council. What is it we're willing to spend? Have these two rinks or one of them, have they reached their lifespan? And if so, we take the ice out and we just use it as a center for whatever. And I think that has to be the both engineering reports are huge dollars to bring those back up.
Is there anything, if you could go back and take a sharp pencil to in the budget, what would it be?
Nothing. I think this council was progressive and energetic, and we really work well together. And I think, you know, no one holds a grudge if they don't quite get what the amount of money they... Like, for example, Councillor Bureau wanted more taxis after 7 o'clock. So that caused a bit of a ruffle, but he was adamant. He wanted people to be able to get home, accessible, regular, after 7 o'clock. So we put it in. Excuse me.
Well, that's good to know. It's all good to know. And I want to thank you so much for coming in today and talking about this budget. It's a huge document, and it affects all of our lives very, very directly. So thanks for taking the time to explain all of that.
Anytime, Rob. It's a pleasure to be here. And the more we can do to help the people in this town, the more we'll do. I'm sure my phone and my emails will keep on binging.
Sounds good.
Thanks.
And I want to thank you, the listener, for tuning in today. And please join me again next week when we will talk to people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and in Northumberland County. If you have any suggestions about guests you'd like to hear on this show, please email me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com with your ideas. If you have any comments, questions, rants, or raves, again, please email me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com. Or you can go to my Facebook page, Consider This, or if you're on Twitter, you can message me at rwash. I will read out a selection of comments on next week's show. If you'd like to listen to this or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you'll find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking the time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this.